Mark chapter 8 and verse 34. When he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whosoever loses his life for my sake in the gospel will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels." And he said to them, Assuredly I say to you that there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the coming of the kingdom of God present with power." Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, and led them up on a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His clothes became shining, exceedingly white like snow, such as no launderer on earth can whiten them. And Elijah appeared to them with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Because he did not know what to say, for they were greatly afraid. And a cloud came and overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my Son, whom I love. Hear him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one anymore, but only Jesus with themselves. Now, as they came down from the mountain, he commanded them that they should tell no one the things they had seen till the Son of Man has risen from the dead. So they kept this word to themselves, questioning what the rising from the dead meant. And they asked him, saying, "Why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first?" Then he answered and told them, "Indeed, Elijah is coming first and restores all things. And how is it written concerning the Son of Man that he must suffer many things and be treated with contempt? But I say to you that Elijah has also come, and they did to him whatever they wished, as it is written of him." Now the transition lies in this first verse of chapter 9, where he says that some of you here will not die until you see the kingdom of God present with power. So immediately there's 3 of them, James, Peter, and John, who get a glimpse of glory. Then all the disciples are going to be alive when he rises from the dead. So that's what he's saying here. Now what we want to get into this morning is beginning at verse 2, which we have read, when Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on the high mountain apart from by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. So he takes these 3 men up, and there is a change, a transfiguration, where the brilliance and the glory of God is seen in Christ. The word used for transfiguration is metamorphosis, which we know probably the main illustration we have is a caterpillar into a butterfly. That's the metamorphosis. And what we have here is a change. And really, it's not like an earthly thing, because he is already glorious what is inside is now being revealed. And so we begin with a thought of the glory of God revealed in His Son, Christ. This change. Matthew explains it that His face was shining. And Mark talks about His clothing. And there is a divine brilliance. And when we read Revelation, we read that in heaven, there is no need of the sun or the moon, for the Lamb of God is the light thereof. Now, what is this? It's the light of perfect purity. It's the light of sinless deity. And God is revealing this to these men to give them a glimpse of the glory. Now, is this a real, literal event, or is it just some spiritual vision? It is a real, literal event. Let me read to you Peter's commentary. He said, "We were eyewitnesses of His majesty, for He received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to Him from the excellent glory, 'This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.' And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with Him on the holy mountain." Now, Peter is not going to write something like that unless it is real. And here we have an eyewitness account of this appearing of Christ in His brilliance. Now, the second thing here is the appearance of Moses and Elijah. And they are talking with Christ. The question is, why Moses and Elijah? Why not David and Abraham or Joseph and Joshua and other Old Testament people who have died? It seems the best answer to that is Moses represents the law and Elijah represents the prophets, and this was meaningful to these Jewish disciples. And notice that they are sent by God. They don't have the power of the ability just to appear on their own. This is God's doing. God sent them to be there. And the disciples become greatly afraid, and that the Matthew account says that they had been sleeping. So here we meet our friend again, the Apostle Peter, who is always bursting out with some kind of comment. So he says, "Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. Let's make three dwelling places, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." So here is a humanism expressed. Peter is impressed with the brilliance, but he's mistaken. This is not permanent. This is a temporary condition. And we're not up here on this mountaintop to live. We live in the valley. That's the reality. So Peter was mistaken about what's taking place here. Now, while he's talking, a cloud came and overshadowed them. A voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is My Son, whom I love. Hear Him," or "listen to Him." And what we have here is a most remarkable declaration by God the Father regarding His Son. This is the God the Father's affirmation of His Son. Now, affirmation is one of the most important things in human life. We all need affirmation. And the fact that God is affirming His Son gives us great security and is very meaningful. Affirmation is a positive declaration. It's a statement. I affirm you means I approve you and so on. And it's a solemn declaration. In court, do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth? Or do you solemnly affirm that what you are about to say is the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth? That's affirmation. Now, what God is doing here is saying, this is the truth. Who is this? This is my Son. And it's a marvelous thing that God is doing this positive declaration. The thing that gives us security is the relation of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And here we're getting a declaration of the unity, the togetherness, the oneness of the Godhead in perfect harmony. The Father loves the Son. The Son loves the Father. The Holy Spirit is here to glorify the Son. Now you think about this for a moment. What if we found out that one of the persons in the Godhead became rebellious and sought to undermine the others? Or what if there was a breakup in this unity? Throw this away. There's nothing left, folks. There is no security anywhere. There's nothing good about life. It is this oneness, this unity, this harmony in the Godhead that gives us security this morning. Praise God for that. And the fact that we have this statement in Scripture, the affirmation of God the Father regarding His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is my Son. We belong together. We are one. That is wonderful truth. And we thank God for that. There is the affirmation of identity. And we get to do that with each other. Who is this woman? She is my wife. Who is that man? He is my husband. We belong together. That's a statement of affirmation. Secondly, we have an affirmation of relationship. The Son is identified as the Son of God. And then the Lord God said, this is my beloved Son, or this is the Son whom I love. Here is an affirmation of relationship. This is my Son. I love Him. I am devoted to Him. I care for Him. And it seems as if God the Father wants the world to know that He loves the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is not the only time when we have this statement. God the Father also said something at the baptism of Christ, probably almost exactly the same words. This is my beloved Son. Hear ye Him, the Son whom I love. And it's as if He's saying to Christ Himself, I love you, my Son. In searching out this paragraph, as I've said many times, We can't really get into a passage of Scripture to interpret until we find the purpose. And I struggled with this for a long time and didn't come up with anything till I read one of my commentaries on the Book of Mark by William Hendrickson, who is my my best-known commentator. And he says the purpose of this passage is that Christ is heading for suffering. And God the Father is coming now to encourage him, to in a sense stand behind him and strengthen him for the suffering that's coming by affirming him. You're my son, and I am with you, and we'll go through this together. And I love you, my son. There's the affirmation of identity. There's the affirmation of relationship. Thirdly, there is the affirmation of approval or appreciation, where he says to them, hear him or listen to him. Why? Because he's worth hearing. He's expressing the value and the worth of his son. He is worth listening to because he carries authority. He's worth following. He has character qualities that you need to know about, and you need to recognize those. And there is confidence expressed here by God the Father. There is approval communicated that Christ, the Son, has validity, and he's qualified, and he has capability and acceptance. In fact, this is an endorsement. This is a recommendation. And through my life, I've had many opportunities to write letters of recommendation, either for work, for the government, or corporation, or for pastors. I had a call a couple of weeks ago from a church in Idaho considering a man for pastorate, Peter DeBond, as many of you know, and they must have questioned me for a good 40 minutes about him. And in many of those letters, I can say, I give you my highest recommendation for John as a worthy employee in your corporation. This is what we have here. I'm recommending to you my son because of his value and his worth. I endorse him. So we have this tremendous statement by God the Father, a statement of affirmation. This is my son whom I love. Hear him. This brings us to the thought of human affirmation. It's one of the things every human being needs. And we need to pick up on this morning with each other. Husbands need to affirm wives in identity, in relationship, and in approval and appreciation. Now, we all know there are differences between men and women, and women need this affirmation verbally more than men. It's just a fact. That's the way we're wired. Women need to hear it. Husbands need to say it. There are differences. A lot of differences between men and women. I think it was 2 weeks ago, I'm in a Save-On drugstore. and we're at the cash register, and there's a lady paying her bill, and I'm right behind her. And I heard the clerk say to her, that'll be $16.68. Well, she's fishing around in her purse, and she pulls out a 20. And I think, well, she'll hand him the 20 and get the change. No way. No way. She puts the 20 back and begins to fish for the exact bills. And she finally finds a 10 and a 5 and two 1s. And I think, well, she'll give him $17 and get the change. No way. She puts the dollar back and she fishes and fishes for 2 quarters and a dime and whatever and the 3 pennies, and she gives the exact change. By that time, there's 10 people behind us because it, but so there are differences. Now, it's not a bad difference, doesn't make much difference, but there are some differences that are very meaningful. And this matter of affirmation is one of the key elements in every marriage. And ladies, men, husbands also need affirmation. This is my husband. I love him. I approve him. I appreciate him. And I express those reasons for appreciation. It isn't enough just to be general. I really appreciate the way you make cream spinach. And just details like that. Need for affirmation. Now, this is terribly important for parents with children and young people. They need affirmation daily. And children and young people need to affirm parents. And it's a good thing for a child and a young person to be taught to go to mom and dad and be able to say, "Mom, I really appreciate how hard you work and all that you do for me every day, because I wouldn't make it without you. Dad, I really appreciate how hard you work so we can have a living place. I'd never make it without you." Friendships thrive on affirmation. There's some things that must be fed. Love has to be fed. It's one thing to have a wedding and say, "I do." It's another thing to keep doing, and that commitment has to be fed. And the commitment is fed on affirmation. Love must be fed, and faith must be fed, and we need to do it. Every relationship needs affirmation. How I thank God this morning for his example here in this passage. "This is my beloved son, hear him." Now, there's another thought about this, and that is God's affirmation to us. And based on that, we can affirm each other. Now, what is it? Well, it's that best well-known passage, Romans 8:28-39. Where God says he will work all things together for good for us. That's affirmation. And then he said in that passage, "There is nothing that can separate us from his love." That's affirmation. Jesus said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." We can be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in us will complete it until the day of Christ. That's affirmation. And it is based on grace. It is not saying, "When you become perfect and everything that I want you to be or expect you to be, then I will affirm you." No, it is based on grace. And our affirmation of one another can only be based on grace. Now, sometimes people get married with the thought, well, they don't measure up now, but when they marry me, I'll change them. Don't count on it. It's grace. You don't wait till there's perfect performance to affirm. Let me encourage us today to make affirmation a major part of our relationships. And even this day, don't let this day go by, but that you and I affirm many people, beginning with husband, wife, children, immediate family, a friend, a phone call, a letter, a thank you. You know, appreciation is affirmation. Approval is affirmation. We can do that, and we must do that based on God's affirmation to us. May the Lord bless this word to our hearts today. Heavenly Father, we sang, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon us. And we together pray now that you will so bless us with the Holy Spirit that we will be caused to be people who affirm one another in our families, in our friendships, and in our church, and that you will use this as a mighty means of encouragement and cause our performance to increase and improve because we have people who encourage us. Bless this word to our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.